Hello, everyone.
Don't start over.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Part 2. It's the thing that we do. It's Grey's Academy Part 2. We do episodes in twos. Part 2.
Are you having an aneurysm? What's happening?
Okay. It's Grey's Academy. This is Part 2 of the episode about the band that was the animals, and they are doing the episode. Kelsey, you're there. I'm here. I'm Carmen. Hello, Part 2.
We're going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland! It was hard to get through that all of that.
I'm going to be honest with you. That matches the vibe.
Because none.
There was no one. And dang. I was pissed because there was, dang. I was going through a lot. Because they had like all the parents and kids who were meeting with Shane.
Yeah.
And I really thought that I thought I recognized the twin guy. And I thought I recognized Meredith's like bioengineer lab assistant guy. But I didn't see, and it wasn't even that they weren't in Shonda shows. It was like they weren't in anything that I would have seen. And I was like, why do these people look so familiar? I don't know. So that was frustrating.
My money definitely would have been on the bioengineer guy.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're setting up a love sequence with him and Steph. Official prediction. They get married.
Did they say his name in this episode?
I don't know. Eric. Bioengineer Eric.
He looks like an Eric.
I think Eric with a C or a K or a CK. Or a K-E. Ever meet one of those Erics?
What if I said write the name Eric, what would your default way to spell it be?
E-R-I-K.
Interesting. Mine would be C.
But here's the thing.
I've only known ones with Cs.
What's your default way to spell the name Erica?
C-A.
Okay, C-A for me too. I dated an Erica C-A.
Yeah.
What's your default for the name Sean?
Or is it a male or a female?
Male. Good question.
Scene. S-E-A-N.
That's so funny. Mine's H-A-W-N.
See, that's how my aunt spells it, and she's a woman. So I think that's why, in my mind, that's like the female spelling, which I recognize that there like isn't really a male versus female spelling. Like, I know that that's not the case.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the one with the U is not ever going to be my default. There's a way to spell it with a U, and it throws me off every time.
Wait, what did I just say?
You said A-W-N. H-A-W-N.
S-H-A-W-N. Sean.
I think, is there an S-H-A-U-N?
Shaun.
Shaun.
Scene.
Scene bean.
It's funny, talking about names and gender-neutral spellings and all that. I actually, there was one of my receptionists submitted an IT ticket, but I hadn't seen the ticket because I didn't submit it. So this person responded and said, hey, I'm looping in Carmen on this. I want to get her perspective on this before we go ahead and make this purchase. And I said, hey, Jay, yeah, we'll go ahead and make this purchase. By the way, it's he, him. Happens all the time. Don't worry. And he personally responded to me, and he's like, I'm so sorry. And I was like, listen, it's fine.
I know what my name is. I understand. That's my thing. Like, when people apologize for spelling my name wrong, I'm like, listen, I don't give a shit.
Right.
It has been 35 years, and if I gave a shit every time, there would be no time for me to do anything else.
It's like, not it hard, doesn't though. Matter. It's S-A-M-A-N-T-H-A. It really it's isn't. Not that hard.
It's not hard. But yeah, I honestly like don't, especially like if it's someone that I'm like never going to interact with again, I'm like, why would I care? Like, why? I don't spell it. Like if a restaurant or something asks for my name, I'm not going to spell it unless they ask me to spell it. Like, that's I'm like, fair. Who cares? What? They just need to be able to yell it.
Yeah.
That's all they need.
Yeah. I don't think that if you told me to say write the name Kelsey, I would have defaulted. Or even like now I wouldn't default to the C. But there are times where I'm writing your name and I'm like, I know this is right. Am I wrong? Or is this because I write it so often or I type it so often or I see it so often that it's become so normal to me, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely wrong. Like, I tell people all the time, my name is spelled wrong. Because it's just, like, it's not the normal way it's spelled. Although there are more unique ways to spell it now because everybody be naming, spelling things however they want.
Yeah. I saw someone spelled the other day, C-K-E-S-L-I-E.
No, you didn't.
You're right.
I have met a girl who works at one of the event venues here that's K-E-L-S-I. And we bonded over the fact that we are named the same and we both spell it wrong.
So actually, let me ask you again, serious question. And I feel like I need to continue to be true. If I'm going to say, hey, serious moment, I'm going to be serious. So, you know, we've talked about the name for a girl baby being Maddox.
Mm-hmm.
How would you spell the nickname Maddie?
M-A-D-D-I-E.
Perfect. Thank you.
What does Jessica say?
M-A-D-I, which is just heinous.
That is
Mad-Eye Moody.
It's cute what she's doing, but it's not as someone whose name is spelled wrong. If you can choose to not spell your child's name wrong, I feel like you should make that choice.
Yeah. M-A-D-D-I-E is what I would also say.
Yeah. I also like when people used to ask me if I was going to have my kids go by their middle name, I would say, no, it's like the most annoying thing in the world. Don't. There was a point in time where I'm like, I'm not even going to give my kids middle names. This is so fucking annoying.
Or just give them the same exact first name.
Yeah. Scarlet.
But her name is Scarlet, but she goes by her middle name. What is it? Scarlet.
This is Bennett.
Bennett's name is the funniest one.
Bennett. It's Mario. Bennett.
Oh, that actually broke me for a second.
Other than Maddox, have you guys talked about anything? Are we keeping secrets? What are we doing? Like, I don't know what if it's a secret or if you're allowed to share.
Share what?
What, like, names you're thinking of doing?
Yeah, I think Maddox is what we're thinking.
Yeah.
Maddox, Carmen, McCarthy? Jessica, Magnolo.
Maddox, Carmen, Jessica, Kelsey, Magnolo.
Very interesting add-on here.
Hear me out. Buy the house next door to me. You guys, the neighbors, my literal exact next-door neighbors, listed their house for sale, and Carmen and Jessica will not buy it. And I am trying so hard.
There's a difference between will not and can't.
I am trying so hard.
Will not and can't.
I disagree. I've already let you know that I disagree.
Find us the jobs down there and we'll move.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Listen, do it. But listen, I want to keep working for my current company.
I was about to say, that's not true. Because I could find you a job that could even potentially match your current salary. But it won't be with your current company.
It would need to be double. I need it to be double. If I'm moving down there, I need it to be triple.
What if I just find you a job in the field, different company, same pay, but they'll pay for you to relocate because it is cheaper to live here. So
you know what?
Kind of like getting a raise.
If you find that before the house sells, I'm open to it. Go ahead. Show me what you got.
I just think that house is the same layout as our house, but they did way more upgrades in the new build.
I can't see the backyard, but it looks like it's not conducive for a pool, which is concerning.
No, but we have a pool in our neighborhood.
I know. We've been there. It's not the same thing. I want a pool in my
yard. It's not. And this is another thing. This is on my list for Renee. The pool, the pool hyperfixation is on my list for Renee.
You know,
I'm going to send you a list.
It's hard.
I'm going to have a notes app. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a shared notes app for me and Jessica. And we're just going to add things that we want Renee to talk about. And then we'll send it to you. And then what you'll have to do is explain to her that you have a really unhealthy relationship with both me and sometimes your wife. And that we have done this thing to you.
I want you to know I'm like at the point I'm so healed I don't even know what to talk about in some of my sessions. So
that's
if you guys
insane
wanna,
to me because I have a list for you.
That's fine. I'd be happy to give your list to Renee.
See, I think once you see my list, you will not be happy to give it to her, and you will not want to do it.
No, I'll be happy.
You'll
to
be
give
like
it to
these
her.
Things aren't problems,
and she will agree. I'm healed.
You have done a lot of work and you are healed from some things in some ways.
healed
and
for
that
some,
is what I'll
healing
say.
For others.
Healed for some, healed for none. Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah, interesting take.
Anyways, Carmen won't move next to me, and he's not healed.
Kelsey also off-air refused to move up to Chicago.
It is truly strictly weather. I cannot have it, like, I cannot have it be that cold for that much of the year.
It doesn't even get below 30 degrees.
That's a lie. That is heinous, blatant lie.
That's an
with a lot of proof.
True, like, fully fledged lie. That's a fully, yeah.
Anyways, there was no one in Shondaland, and Carmen won't move here.
So we have a lot to talk about.
This room could be a podcast studio.
This room could also be a podcast studio.
Because I can't live next to you. Because I'll freeze and die.
Mm.
I have frail bones. I have an autoimmune disorder, Carmen. I can't live in the cold.
Did you ever get to see a specialist? Do you have an autoimmune disorder?
Yeah, I saw the specialist. We're waiting on more blood work. Mm. Shocking. But helpful. She was very nice and not dismissive at all.
Nice.
And she did say, so a lot of times I've had a lot of doctors tell me my symptoms are a result of the SSRI that I take, even though that these symptoms have predated me being medicated. And she was like, none of these symptoms are because of your medication. That's wrong and stupid. So that was nice to hear. And she has plans moving forward, obviously pending the blood work. And I will probably also have to have a sleep study. So we'll see what's going on in my brain when asleep, which will also potentially help me in the therapy situation.
Mm, yeah. So, good.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yes.
So Quinn. as the healed person in this podcast, I think we should talk about Grace.
Yeah.
We
and
didn't
as
really
the
finish.
Adult ADHD person in this podcast, I also feel like we should talk Grace.
You know, also speaking of adult ADHD, what are you wearing right now?
It's a Winnie the Pooh shirt.
Oh, it's a Winnie the Pooh shirt. I thought you were wearing a bib.
No, these are overalls.
Okay.
And this is a Winnie the Pooh shirt.
And then is that a cream colored cardigan or is that a blanket?
This is a blankie. This is a very cozy blanket.
That's very cozy.
Someone gave me for Christmas and I leave it in the office because I get chilly when we record and I want to be snuggled.
Mm, very nice. All right, Jackson and April. What else do we want to talk about with us? So I guess probably like just let's take it from the top. Let's just do the whole thing.
So Catherine shows up. They have told her. So I guess they just like gave her a ring on the phone and they were like, so this is the thing that happened. You know, I confessed my love for April at her wedding. She left a man at the altar. Catherine is upset, and I'm going to say something that I don't know if I've said before on this podcast, but I have said a lot on the internet. In my experience working weddings, mothers of the bride get a lot of shit for being the problem. In my experience, it is like 98% of the time the mother of the groom on the day of the wedding that is causing a problem. Sometimes it's no one, and sometimes it's the mother of the bride. But most of the time, it's the mother of the groom. Mm. So this, and Catherine really, to me, I like her character, but like she fits this energy, right? And so a lot of things that she's saying when she's talking about the prenup and like talking like, oh, you guys haven't discussed any of this, those things are valid. I think the way she presents them is horrible.
Totally.
And then obviously the root of the problem is that she's mad that they didn't like loop her in and they basically like took her being able to be at their wedding away from her, which no one is owed an invitation to anyone's wedding. But obviously as a parent, you do expect that of your child, especially if you have a good relationship with your child, which she does. So using these super valid and like reasonable concerns, to like punish them for like taking this away from her, I do think is dumb. And I don't like that she does that. And then the whole thing with like the prenup, postnup, whatever it's called, I personally like don't really think, I think right now in our current times, prenuptial agreements and postnuptial agreements have become much less taboo. And they don't really like, I don't think they have the negative connotation that people have historically associated them with, because there's just like a level. I mean, it's similar to like having any kind of insurance, right? Like, you don't have house insurance because you're like, man, I hope my house floods. But you have it because you're like, honestly, they're like, you don't know. I don't know. Maybe there's a hurricane and my house floods. Who's to say? I don't know. Houses flood. Like, so it's kind of being viewed more as that. And then especially when you're looking at statistics around like abusive relationships, both emotional and physical, a lot of times people aren't able to leave because they have no access to any money. So again, it's just like the from a finance piece, obviously finances are like a very intimate thing and very different for every relationship. But it's just like another way to kind of like protect yourself and make sure that you are keeping your best interest in mind. But obviously, like, again, no one is like, man, I hope I get a divorce.
Right. Yearning for the divorce.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I think there's a lot of just like the concepts and belief systems around prenups have changed over the years in a positive way.
Yeah. I totally agree. I unfortunately have come into my Pokemon card wealth. So there's no prenup
$7.
Or postnup. Yeah. no, a little bit more than that.
Do you have
14?
14. Do you have insurance on the Pokemon cards?
No, but okay. I think it's included in the homeowner's insurance, though.
Yeah, there are certain things, like if it's over a certain valuation, you have to like specifically claim it on your insurance. And I only know that because when we were getting quotes for the house insurance, they were asking me about if I had any jewelry that was worth like over $1,000. And I was like, I have one piece of jewelry that's worth over $1,000, and it is my engagement ring. So
I have my guitar, my one guitar, my white guitar claimed on our home insurance.
Yeah.
But at this point now, there's just so much in this house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be bad. Although I did hear that you can basically, this is a whole tangent thing, but basically I learned that Pokemon cards are considered art. So you could sell and buy art basically tax-free because it's art.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It's actually one of the number one ways money is laundered.
Interesting.
Is wow. Through, because also with art, you can just like give it just like the most arbitrary value. I mean, like this piece of art is worth $2 million and it's like a banana glued to the wall, right?
Totally.
So, and there's no taxes on it. So, you know, that's like one of the biggest ways money is laundered is
did
through
not
art
know
collections.
That. Mm-hmm. As an Italian, I should have known that.
You really should have, honestly.
I'm one of those innocent Italians. So, anyways, the moral of the story with Jackson and April, I think that Catherine is totally justified in her feelings, not really super kind in the approach. April takes the high ground. There's that scene where Jackson's like, well, okay, fine, we're going to sign it if you really want to, but like, don't go tell her now. Let her stew on it. Let her like,
yeah,
fucking be by herself for a little
and
bit.
And I mean, to April's point, she's like, we did just do this thing and I now am in your family. So like, it would be nice if she didn't hate me. So like, if you could help me out, that would be great.
Yeah. I but like also, that April like, also so calls good. Out like, we hurt people.
Yeah.
So many people were hurt. Collateral damage in this.
Yeah. I did not like when Catherine was like, who knows what kind of character she is. She left a man at the altar. I'm like, okay, your son stood up in a wedding. So maybe some introspection here. And then there was something else Catherine did that I did not much care for. I don't know, but I liked when April told Jackson to apologize to her.
Well,
I thought that moment was well done.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's right. Like she starts spewing out all this shit. And then at the end of it, basically in summation, she's like, you motherfuckers got married and you haven't thought about a single damn thing. Now I need to help you think about it, or at least put it out there. And sure, I'll have to be the asshole on this one to put out those things. But now there's going to be a conversation. So you're welcome.
And like, the whole thing with the board and like the role in the Avery Foundation, I'm like, okay, obviously, yeah, that's news to April. April being super religious is not news to Jackson.
Totally.
Like, that is where I was like, how are you possibly surprised? Like, why would you not think that she would feel that way about, like, how she wanted to raise her kids? Like, I mean, obviously, like, he wouldn't have known about, they need to go to, around cows. Like, I don't think he should have made that assumption. But I think knowing her as well as he knows her, I think it's safe to say, like, oh, she probably, like, you know, wants to raise her children in this faith that is a huge part of her identity. So that part was weird to me.
Yeah. But the rest of it was pretty logical.
You know?
It's basically the things that people who are wealthy that do with their kids, she just wants to replicate that if they have kids.
But it sounds like they do. My thing also with like the whole Avery Foundation, and they're like at 15, they start sitting in on board meetings. I'm like, that's fine if they you want them to sit in, but I don't really think it's fair for anyone, not just her, to be like, my children will take over this business. Like, I just think you're setting yourself up for so much potential family drama if you are forcing your child into a career path. Like, what if they don't want to? I mean, if they do, what an incredible gift to give your child, like a business and a legacy that you've built. But if they don't, I just feel like you have to be willing to accept the fact that they don't want that.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know.
Maybe they want to be professional podcasters.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Then, I don't have a family business. So.
What's that?
I don't have a family business.
We have a family business. We literally have a family business.
No. My family doesn't have a business that has been passed down. You and I are passing down this podcast because we will die before the show ends and our children will have to take it over.
Well, that's not true. But we will have
it might be, though.
Lots of... Well, but basically what we get to do now is Scarlett and Marlo are going to have a podcast where they're watching Grey's for the first time.
Oh, my God. Then, I would die.
And then they would review our podcast of each episode before... they do their podcast. So they're live reacting to the episode and to our content. It would be cool
if we could figure out some way to record an episode where our children are talking about some show that they watch, like fucking Super Kitties or Sesame Street or something.
That would be funny.
Or like Moana 2.
Oh, the mind of a child. Marlo, truly, the things that she remembers is incredible. But then today... they went to this little red schoolhouse and it was like a learning museum thing, field trip. And I'm like, Marlo, tell me three things you learned today. And she's like, there were chairs. And I'm like, what the fuck do you mean there were chairs? And she's like, yeah, they were
chairs
wooden.
At the children's museum. That's insanity.
Yeah. But then when I started showing her pictures, she's like, wait, is there a picture of the snapping turtle? And I'm like, why was this not part of... Yes, I can go find a picture of the snapping turtle.
That's like, oh, I asked my daughter what she did at school today, and she said nothing. And then I got on Instagram and saw her teacher had posted a picture of her holding an alligator. And I was like, that is the perfect description of a child.
Yes. Or when I go, Marla, what'd you do at school today? I don't know. What do you mean I don't know?
Bennett has said yesterday we went to Colorado so many fucking times since we went to Colorado a month and a half ago. And I'm like, no, we didn't.
That's so funny.
And he'll go, no, the other yesterday. And I'm like, I mean, I guess.
A lot of yesterdays there, buddy. Anyways, so at the end of that scene, Catherine basically is like, no, you could have had grandma's cake topper. It's a...
Again.
Well, Lamange.
Like, it doesn't matter. The way that does not matter. I cannot express to you the way that doesn't matter.
Yeah. I don't even think we had cake at my wedding.
No, you we did have cake. You just had mostly donuts.
Yeah.
Never forget.
Never forget those donuts. All right. What now?
Richard.
Richard, birthday boy Weber.
It's Richard's birthday. Happy birthday, Richard. Very cute. Everyone's wishing him happy birthday at the front end of the episode. He's like, not I know Owen. There's a party. Owen's so fucking stupid. He's like, I know there's a party. And they're like, there's literally not a party. So sorry to disappoint. And then Owen's like, oh, this is from the hospital. And he doesn't, I guess, know what it is. And so he gives it to him and it's a package on retirement. And didn't love that. Obviously, Richard's like, oh, hell no. And so then Bailey and Leah are with a patient who has like severe abdominal pain that he's had for 10 years. And he's finally come in because he's finally gotten insurance. America.
10 years to get insurance is pretty wild.
Because he doesn't like have a steady job. He just like finds stuff and sells it at flea markets. So that's not really like an insurance supplying company situation. So like I understand that it's just like shitty that that's even an issue. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Capitalism is garbage and the healthcare system is stupid.
Yeah.
But so he finally comes in and they do an ultrasound and Bailey gets really excited. She like sees something and Leah's like, what is happening? And so then they go take him for this CT and oh, he absorbed his twin in utero, but to the extent where like it's like a full spinal column and like two legs. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of things that I don't understand about this. So number one, I think it's safe to say that they actually use the phrase Obamacare in this episode, which is canon confirming. You
know what? Yep, you're right. That's canon, so true. That's
it's
so
confirming
accurate.
That President Barack mm-hmm. Obama is calling Derek Shepherd by name.
Yes,
on
I
his
agree.
Cell phone. Okay. Number two, that man's got to be in his 30s at least, maybe 40s. Couldn't really tell. Right? Like, would you say?
I would say mid-30s.
Mid-30s. So that means that fucking absorbed uterus baby was inside his body for that whole time and only the last 10 years has he been in pain?
Yeah.
That's so what's it been doing the rest of the time?
Not bothered. Like if it shifted or like if he maybe
okay,
like gained weight or something like that. Cause it just like where it is, I would think honestly, just like the nature of it being in the abdominal area, I would think like if you had weight gain that could potentially like move it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Towards
that's
something else. That would be my assumption.
What I love about that storyline too is so like there's a lot of stuff like with Richard and Bailey and some
mortality
Meredith.
And
yeah.
And, yeah.
But like when Bailey basically is showing Weber the birthday present, he just goes, hot diggity, and it closes out.
I also wrote that down. He's like, hot diggity. I was like, that's so funny.
Anytime an old person says hot diggity unironically,
yes.
It makes me want to also just hot diggity. You know what I'm saying?
Like, hell yes, hot diggity, Richard. Hell yeah. Yes. Like,
hot diggity
you.
Dick,
happy
dude.
Birthday. Hot diggity. So yeah, that storyline is funny. I thought that guy is wild. At first he's like, oh my god, I just found out I have a brother. Like, this guy's gone through every fucking emotion possible. He's like, don't do this surgery, it's so rare and cool. And then they're like, well shit, we actually really wanted to do this surgery, how about we give you it so you can take it home and like put it on yourself. And he's like, amazing, you guys are wonderful. And then they show it to him and he screams, and that is so funny.
That is,
and the way
really
they shoot
funny.
It like from the bucket,
yes,
of him looking in, hilarious.
Because
true
we
comedy.
Will never know what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Like we're
no,
not
whatever
meant to
you're
see it.
Envisioning is worse than whatever they can show you.
Yes. The lead up to it also
funny.
Is very funny because Weber calls it the Mona Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And then later Bailey walks up to Weber and is like, dude, what did you do? Like, why did you talk this guy out of the surgery? And he's like, Weber's like, my
just
words,
have a way with
just,
words.
We just
I'm
cast
just,
a spell
so
on him.
Like, I'm just like, I'm just fucking Shakespeare over here.
Oh, they yeah, see fingers so. And a lung and a tooth and a spinal
it's
column.
Crazy.
And
it's crazy. So yeah. I guess like I don't think it's terribly abnormal for something like this to happen. I think the difference is like, I guess the when in the pregnancy it happened. So like obviously long enough for this to be like have a full spinal column. And then like for it to also then not, I guess, dissolve or kind of pass through the other fetuses, like, development. It's very interesting. I mean, it's crazy. Like, not, it's wild.
Not as wild as capitalism. So we'll be right back after a word from these sponsors. Thank you, capitalism and sponsors. Now back to the spinal columns.
So also then at one point, Alex is like, technically this should be a PEDS case, which I also thought was really funny.
That is very funny.
But yeah, everyone's fighting over it. Bailey wants it. Meredith wants it. Richard wants it. Very cute for his birthday. And then of course he's like, how dare people want me to retire? I'm not old. I'm amazing. And the peak of youth. Which I did like the scene with him and Catherine later when he tells her that the hospital wants him to retire. And she's like, no, like, I thought, you know, don't get tired on me. Don't quit on me. Like, I thought we were going to do this next part of life together. I thought that was a cute little scene together.
Yeah,
for them.
Yeah. And he kisses her. Mm-hmm. And oh, it's just so...
She goes, okay, act surprised. Because he did, like, they did finally convince him there was no party.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there is, which was also very cute. I really liked that.
Should we talk about that end scene right now, then?
Yeah.
That was such a good scene. So much good in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I love that everyone was there, except they didn't have Olivia there, which was interesting to me. But there, you know, Owen and Christina have that weird moment, which I hate.
Gross.
Alex and Joe have a moment, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Jackson and April start to talk about the baby stuff. It gets, you know, a little bit awkward. But Catherine and Weber are sitting there talking. Owen goes and sits next to him and he's like, right now you want to have this conversation?
Yeah.
And Owen says, no, dude. Like, I want you to be the chief of teaching residents how to kick ass and take names, dude. And, you know, there is, for all the things that Owen is terrible, he, in this moment, at least is humble enough.
Yeah.
Exudes enough humility to recognize that the thing that he can never do that Weber can do is
be Weber.
Like, yeah. Be the and opposite, I mean,
yeah,
of Owen
just
Hunt.
Like, he's like, you bring something to it that no one else get. You're like, you are. And I think it is obviously backed up then by everyone going to make a toast. And like all of the residents who were just interns are fighting over like who gives him a toast. And Shane says, I would not be here if it weren't for Richard Weber, which is so true because, you know, Owen fucking tried to fire him because he was sleeping with Christina. So
yeah,
Richard would never, but I really liked that moment for all of them as well. But yeah, I love that plot point is really lovely. And I think it's, you know, Richard has always been a great teacher. And he really cares about the hospital and like the hospital's longevity. And that is, you know, goes hand in hand with their teaching program.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Yeah, it was very cute. But I like that. Oh, and then he's like, let me think about it. Owen Dickhead Hunt, if that even is your real name.
It is. Don't worry.
And I have to tell you, I love Bailey. The way that when he walks in and says, you looked me right in the eyes and lied to me, Bailey. And she goes, yeah, but it didn't count because you were being stupid. And the
so
way
real.
That she says it and turns her head and she gets all like
a little coy child.
And yeah, I love her. That's that right there. Inject that pure bliss moment into my veins directly, please. So good.
Doesn't count because you're being stupid. And that's why Jessica's allowed to lie to you every day.
But she doesn't.
Oh, but she's allowed to, and that's what matters.
And same for me to her.
No, she's never stupid.
Oh. And then there's a very quick kind of like throwaway line. Derek and Callie overthrew the government. Arizona's like, what the fuck does that mean? And they don't tell her. They just walk away. Very funny. And then Christina checks in on Shane. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm nervous because he's like, I'll be better once I have this in my hand and he has alcohol. Hopefully they're not creating an alcoholism arc because they just got over the caffeine arc. We don't need both. Okay. And then, yeah,
I noticed Christina, you've not yet predicted a Shane, Owen, Christina threesome.
That's because none of...
Because I don't want that.
The men in that deserve to be involved in any of my threesome predictions.
Yeah.
That's fair. Owen is the worst of all time in this show. And Shane still hasn't told anyone that he killed Heather.
But he did have a breakdown about it, so.
He did. I think eventually there's going to be a full hospital orgy. And
lights
Owen
off,
and
no
Shane
touching.
Will just be on the other lights side off, no watching. They're not going to be able to be a part of it.
Right. Naturally.
They'll be masturbating tip to tip.
Oh, gross. I would tell you to edit that out if I thought you would. But I just need everyone to know I did not like that. That was not for me. And I do not condone any
tip
of
to tip
this.
Masturbation.
Just anything that you're saying right now.
The next thing I was going to say is, okay, Kelsey is awesome. Oh.
You don't even mean it. You're just a liar. Okay.
I do think you're awesome, Kelsey.
Thank you so much. It's all that ADHD.
Mm. Oh, remember that one time when I said tip to tip masturbation?
Are you proud of yourself?
I really am. Okay. Seriously.
Okay, so Derek and Callie, this storyline was weird to me because Callie is basically like, I'm going to sue you for the right to use the shit that like I helped you come up with. And Derek is like, joke's on you. I actually fucked you over when I registered all of this shit. And only my name is on it. And you don't have anything. And I am a demon. And so she gets mad. And she like has a lawyer fully. She's like ready to sue this man. And Owen's like, we can work this out. Blah, blah, blah. Let's figure it out. And finally, first of all, she draws the picture on the board and tells him that he is a butthole. And he thinks he's the center of the universe, but he's not, which I feel like is accurate.
I do wonder if she would have a case to dispute ownership of the copyright or like the trademark, patent. Mm-hmm. Because if he filed it without her knowledge, that feels like a case.
Deceitful. Yeah.
Imagine a world where I like trademarked all of our stuff with our podcast without telling you. And then
only put your name on it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Wild work. They kind of go back and forth at it. And then I guess Derek just like has a moment of clarity and is like, okay, you're right. And so then they call DC and he's like, okay, well, I just won't come work for you. And I'm happy to tell the president if you get him on the phone. And then they're like, fine, we'll figure it out. Which is like, okay, just threaten them earlier.
Right. Or
like,
just
obviously,
like
they made it clear that they really wanted you. So you have the upper hand.
Absolutely. And also, maybe have your own lawyer read your own contract.
We're back at that for sure. Because I definitely last time was giving him credit that he clearly didn't deserve.
No, he didn't deserve the credit on that. He just was listening to sweet, sweet Barack tell him all the things he wanted to hear. Which, honestly, fine. I get it.
It's true. He's very charismatic.
Mm. Barack never once talked about needing a ballroom.
I'm so tired. I'm so tired of it.
Oh, goodness.
Okay. Is there anything else in this episode that we haven't talked about?
We didn't really talk much about Meredith's bioengineering situation.
Oh, right. Meredith has a bioengineer and she's mad that she's not doing well. So I just don't feel like there's much more to say on it. His name is Eric. Carmen thinks he's going to date Stephanie.
Yeah, I don't think I know they're going to date. But what I do like in this scene is it kind of is mirroring the little utero twin guy, what's his name, Greg, and basically all episode Meredith throws the research at what's his name?
Tim? Greg.
Greg. No.
No, Eric.
Eric.
The other guy was Greg.
Yeah. She throws all the research at Eric and says, read this, touch nothing. Just read every single thing that has ever existed, and then maybe we'll think about still probably doing nothing. And she keeps going back in. He keeps trying to convince Steph to, like, let him do the stuff. Steph is like, I want to. I agree with you. But also, Meredith said no, and I just got back on her good side because she hated me for so long, blah, blah, blah. And then she has this realization where, you know, Greg is basically speaking to her, where he's like, it was treasure in someone's trash, and it was inside of me or something, like, can't hide this away. And Weber basically says, yeah, you're right. People throw shit like this all away. People like me, because I'm old, but I don't want to throw your little brother away. I'm going to keep it in a doggy bag and give it to you. And apparently that was Meredith's, like, green light
wake
to say,
up call. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my family heirloom.
Yeah. Like, so interesting, but she walks in and Steph and him are, like, working on it. And she's like, listen, I let this whole project down. This was my mom's legacy. I was trying to hide it. And I'm not being called by the president. And, you know, I'm just whatever. Mm-hmm. But we need to get this going. And he goes, oh, she said we. And they will have a threesome because, you know.
What about Derek?
He'll be watching with Owen and Shane. And all three of them will be tip.
I regret asking the question.
Tri-tip. That's where the barbecue term tri-tip comes from.
So, I don't know why you're trying to ruin barbecue for me.
I could never ruin. Hey, the name of the fried chicken place is Campy's, right?
Champy's. You were very close. Were you talking about Champy's?
Yes, because a coworker of mine and her husband bought land in Chattanooga.
Ooh,
and they intend
to sell you so you can live here.
Nope. Oh. Why would I do that when there's a house perfectly good and right next door to you that I can't buy? but I was mentioning fried chicken from Champy's.
Yeah, so good.
Also, when I started talking about the Chattanooga airport, five people in the room go, oh my gosh, I love the Chattanooga airport. And I was like, yeah, it's the
delightful.
Best.
It's kind of, I mean, it's ridiculous because it's seven fucking gates, but it's so nice to fly out of.
Yeah.
I'm so annoyed. I can't fly to Omaha out of Chattanooga because it's like $800. I'm going to have to go to like Knoxville or Nashville, but it's fine.
What's in Omaha?
Corporate.
Oh, corporate, yes.
She's a corporate girly.
She's a corporate girl in a material world.
We'll have to sort this out schedule-wise, but I have to go back May 11th. Mm. We'll figure it out. But yeah, the Chattanooga airport's delightful. And what were we talking about with Greg and Meredith and Eric?
Well, basically, Meredith is like, all right, we're going to get to work on this. And he was glad to be included in it.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, Greg's little baby inside of him was a wake-up call from Meredith about the whole thing. But it's just, you know, I think that was all the topics. We talked about Cheryl and Shane. Mm-hmm. And Shane, honestly, Shane was in a tough spot that episode. Like, it was a no-win situation for
Like, what he did trying to get, like, he obviously wasn't going to get her into the trial, but I felt like he did a good job being the support person for her when she really needed it the most.
Yeah.
AKA when she's in labor.
Yes. Yes.
Which is not a fun thing to be in.
No. And I would know because I was there in the room when labor took place. Equally going through it with my wife.
For me. You were also there for some of it for me.
It's
a lot
true.
Of it, honestly.
Yeah.
And then you pooped.
Man, I almost didn't make it. Woke up from a deep slumber to feel the downtown push down and barely made it through that fucking metal detector randomly at your hospital.
I know. It was so wild that they have a metal detector at that hospital. I mean, I'm glad because there are babies there. You know, it is like where all the babies in Orlando are born. But
yeah.
Crazy. Crazy work.
For those of you that don't know the story, Jessica and I were at Kelsey's delivery of little baby Scarlett, and I took a nap in the car because I wasn't
because it was
the
nighttime because all of my children are born in the middle of the night or very early the next morning.
Yes. And I took a nap in the car. I came back out from the car, woken by the feeling of I am about to have diarrhea, and had to run down
a parking garage
structure into the hospital, get through a metal detector, find a bathroom. And then when the guy got to the bathroom, just barely whipped
around in time.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry for that graphic story. Let's rate it. Let's do the things. Let's do if we have any questions. Let's do an episode closeout. Let's do the unless there's any. Did we miss? I don't think we missed anything.
I don't think we did.
We tangented.
We did. I'm sorry, but I'm also not really that sorry because this episode is spoiler alert only. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like for me, I think it's like a 3.2. Like it's good. It's not bad. It's just like only okay.
Yeah, I'm with you.
It's just fine. Like yeah.
Joe and Alex finally got the paperwork situated. Yeah. That's for me, that's my takeaway in this episode.
Yeah.
And I guess also Meredith finally relented and opened up the, like, she's like, okay, I guess if people want to help me with my project, then let them help, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I did love when Weber he decides to keep the little twin thingy for his weird ass collection.
I'm glad he still has that collection.
Yeah, but he's walking down the hallway and he's just like swinging the bucket. He looks like just a happy little kid. And I just loved that shot. I did really love that moment. I thought it was so funny and cute. So I just wanted to call that out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, 3.2. It's fine. It's good. Yeah. It's an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
3.0. It's same.
Yeah.
Do we have any questions?
We do have some Discord questions. Yeah. How did you feel when you saw Richard get handed the retirement packet?
Immediately thought that's going to do nothing. He's been saying he's going to retire for 10 seasons. Why is he upset at this now? Why is he upset that someone tells him?
This is the only thing that's going to make him do it. After 10 years, someone giving him this packet is going to be the thing that does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you sign the love contract?
Probably. Yes, I would.
Yeah. Did Bailey pull off lying about the surprise party, or did you see right through her?
No, I knew it was going to happen. They weren't going to not do it.
I thought she lied well.
Oh, yeah, she lied. She lied well, but I was like, it's...
You saw through the plot, not through Bailey.
Yes, 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 yes.
What do you think made Derek change his mind about the Callie situation? Literally, I don't know.
I think that Derek is so desperate for people's approval to like him that when Callie was fronted with him on that, he was like, oh, Callie doesn't like me. I guess I could do the right thing for a change.
Yeah.
But he's low key. Actually, not even. He's high key a dick for patenting those without telling her.
Yeah, for sure. And then he's like, well, I answered the question that you asked, so it's my answer. So nothing you say matters.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Is Owen ready to be dating? I wouldn't wish that man on my worst enemy.
Owen's ready to be off the show.
Owen's ready to never talk to another human being ever again. Have either of you ever had a surprise party?
No, and I would love one.
I have. My sister threw me one when I turned 16, and it was very sweet.
Who did we... I think I was a part of a surprise party for Steve's Kayla. 30th and Kayla's engagement party.
We also had a surprise birthday party for her, but I don't remember if you were... It was at the one that's right next to Hoop-Dee-Doo.
Trail's End.
Yes.
Yeah, I've never had a surprise birthday.
And then I also was at a surprise party for Ricky for her... I mean, for Emily for her 30th birthday.
For what it's worth, if I ever do have a surprise party that Jessica throws me, which I hope someday happens, I expect all of my cult friends to be there.
Well, that'd be a lot easier if you lived in the house right next door to me.
Okay.
It's
a good point.
Just I know. It's a correct reality. Point. How much did y'all discuss the details of parenting and raising children prior to marriage?
Extensive as fuck.
I actually don't know that we had like a lot of discussions around certain details, just because like we already knew that we had similar like beliefs or similar family situations. I think the only thing that I was like very explicit about was like, I absolutely will like unequivocally like never spank my child. And Michael didn't really feel one way or another about it. So he was like, yeah, okay, that's fine if you feel strongly about it. And then like, as we've had kids and he's also like, we've just like worked through disciplinary things. He's like, yeah, no, I see why you felt that way. And I'm like, thank you. So I just have done some good amount of like child psychiatrist research, and I just find it to be, my biggest thing is I'm like, I think it's just hard for a kid to understand if you're like, don't hit people and then you hit them. Like they cannot grasp that. Just developmentally, they can't get it.
I've never thought about that before.
Their little tiny brains are not going to figure that. That makes no sense to them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other reasons as well, but I feel like that's the easiest way to like explain it to people who are like, why?
I will tell you, when we hadn't talked about like the discipline piece until mm-hmm. we were very deep into, I think, like the second trimester or third trimester. And actually, it was a big point of contention for Jessica and I, because I said, I don't think making a promise on I will never spank my child is fair, because then if I spank my child, I've broken the promise. So I would rather just not make that promise. And I held that all the way until probably like the age of 3. And I really don't think there's ever going to be a need that I would have to spank Marlo.
Yeah.
If she's doing something like walking away, or she's doing something dangerous, like if there have been times where I've really had to like grab her by the arm where she can't slip out of my hand. But like,
it's not like you're not doing that to hurt her in response to like as a form of discipline. You're just doing that like as a precaution for safety.
Yeah. Or like there was one time where she was like really having a hard time, and she was like just hitting me, and I grabbed her arm and I held it in place, and I said, you will not hit. But that wasn't like me spanking her for hitting me, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. I have
a lot of feelings on it, and I understand why that, like, it's just like, it's a very it's a very heated, people have strong opinions on it, and that's, it is what it is. I have mine. And so, but that was like the only thing that I really felt like, oh, I want to be clear about this. Other than that, I felt like everything was like mostly pretty aligned. Like we have similar kind of backgrounds with being raised in the South, as far as like religion and stuff goes. So we weren't really feeling one way or another about that. I mean, we were feeling one way about it, but we weren't feeling another way about it. But that's just like, again, there's a lot to unpack there, just in the nature of like living in the Bible Belt and kind of what that looks like.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a lot to unpack. And then I don't really think there was like a lot else.
We talked about education a lot.
Yeah.
Because that was something that when Jess and I first started dating was a big, like, she's like, under no circumstance can my kids not go to college. And I was like, under no circumstance would I mandate college.
Yeah.
So
there's just so many other options that like might be a better fit.
And that's been a for sure evolution
for
our marriage and relationship in general.
Well, and also like it helps that you're living proof that it's fine. Like,
right.
You're a pretty good example.
I don't think there's any, and money. Things. Money we've talked obviously. About how we want to raise with money and raise her to understand the concept.
Just like
of money.
building good foundations with things like that. And then we talk about, and this isn't necessarily like parenting so much as just like creating generational wealth and like what that looks like, and like the best way to do that without just being like, and here's a big pile of money.
right.
So I think that was it. Wait. Yep, that was it.
All right, we rated it. I said a couple predictions. It's so late. Can we
It is so late.
Can
it's
I just predict
my house?
Everyone's gonna have the orgy, and then Owen and Shane will tip to tip masturbate, and then Meredith and Steph and Eric are gonna have a threesome, and Derek's gonna watch because for some reason that's like what he's really into in this moment in their lives. I am gonna predict that Weber is gonna take the chief residency director position or whatever.
What do you think that will look like?
I don't know. Hopefully Owen quitting. And then I made a prediction on a specific date where Owen and Christina will die. Get married and die. So yeah, I feel pretty good with my predictions in this episode.
Okay. I think that's fair. Do you have anything for Joe and Alex?
They're going to be married. They're together forever. I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how. Together forever.
Okay. Callie in Arizona?
I saw so little of them in this episode.
They weren't really together much. At one point, Christina asked them if a woman is hot, and Arizona says yes, and Callie gets mad.
Yeah, I forgot about that happening.
Yeah. Other than that, there's not a whole lot. But then at the end, everything's fine because they overthrew the government, which I wish someone would.
Yeah, we need a quick overthrown government in America right now.
Okay, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Sorry we were really rambly, but sometimes these episodes just like, they can't all be great, right? They're not all going to be fives. They're not all going to be,
like, we have adult ADHD in the house.
Yeah, they're not all going to be Gary Clark's, right? We can only do so much. Shonda can only do so much. The team works hard, and it's still a good episode. It's just not like, you know, there's only so much to yap about. I mean, we'll find other things to yap about, clearly. This one was, can't wait to see those chapter titles on the podcasts listed on this one.
Oh, yeah. You guys, send us the chapter titles. This is going to be interesting.
Those are so funny. But yeah, just keep sharing us, please, and tagging us on Instagram. People keep telling us they're finding us, and we love it, and we love having so much backlog for them to listen to, because there's so much of the show, and they just are going to keep doing more. Amazing for us and for everyone involved. So we love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much, and we will see you all in the next one.